This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Liam O'Rourke, author of Crazy Like a Fox, the definitive chronicle of Brian Pillman 20 years later, and you are listening to the Top Rope Nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah!
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah!
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it! It's the best thing going today.
What's going on, wrestling fans? It's been a while. This is episode 79 of Top Rope Nation. We are back at you on a particularly newsworthy night. WWE SmackDown just went off the air, and a lot happened. Survivor Series completely shaken up on tonight's broadcast. We are here to break it all down for you. If you never joined us before, like I said, it's the Top Rope Nation Wrestling Podcast. My name is Ryan Drosty of comicbook.com. Joined here by Kyle Ross and Justin Joint, my longtime co-hosts. And like I said, God, a lot to talk about tonight, guys. I think right away, I just want to throw it out to you and talk about that championship switch we just saw to close SmackDown. So Daniel Bryan won the WWE title from AJ Styles in the main event. This match was not announced until the beginning of SmackDown this week. And in the process, Daniel Bryan apparently has turned heel. And Kyle, we haven't talked off air about this at all and what our thoughts were. I'm going to throw it right to you because I know what a fan of Daniel Bryan you are. What did you think of that?
Was not surprised that he won the title. Pretty much when they announced the match, change of the title. Pretty shocked that they turned him heel. I don't know what to make of it. I'm really fighting the urge to react wildly one way or the other. He's a very good heel. We know that he can be. My initial response is I think it somewhat speaks to their, and by their, I mean WWE's, inability to properly book a babyface in this modern era. When you kind of, there is a chance now that when Daniel Bryan wrestles The Miz in a WWE title match, it could be babyface Miz chasing heel Daniel Bryan, which is something that if had you told me 8 months ago, I would have had you committed.
So true.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, you know, people, you know, there's a lot of people who a tendency they hear that they're going to rip it. Like, what are they thinking? How out of touch are they? It's a chicken and the egg argument. Bryan had lost a lot of steam in the babyface role. And in how much of it was him not connecting with the audience properly and how much was the booking, I don't know. That can be debated. It was very clear before this to me. The tonight went down, and even a couple weeks ago, that had they wanted to do Bryan and Miz the way that we all thought they were going to do it, you know, with Bryan just as a babyface getting his revenge and just beating Miz in a standard program, that they should have gone right to that after WrestleMania. They waited long. So this program got wonky. And so I'm not going to say that that scenario is wrong. It sure is odd sounding, though. And the one problem I will point out is turning Daniel Bryan heel 5 days before he's going to work Brock Lesnar in a David versus Goliath match. That does seem more wrong than odd.
All right. Justin, your thoughts on what happened tonight?
Speaking of... leaving what 5 days for a buildup to a Lesnar Bryan match seems really weird. It just makes me wonder that you guys think this was planned. Yeah. I mean, how long did
I'll go right back to you, but to me, this SmackDown just reeked of Vince McMahon got to the arena today and said, plans change, pal. He just ripped up the Survivor Series script and just said, we're doing it all over. I don't, you know, yeah. There's always been that story that Vince has had kind of an interesting relationship with the Survivor Series format. And I think, you know, and to be fair to them, they've been thrown two huge curveballs in the last month with the Reigns diagnosis and then now the Lynch injury, which I know we're going to talk about. I think Vince just kind of woke up this morning in a funny mood and he said, fuck it, let's just change it all.
I mean, it reminded me so much of last year when Jinder dropped the title to AJ just before Survivor Series. But I don't recall how far in advance. What was that, the week right before Survivor Series? I don't remember how much in advance that was when that happened.
I want to say that was at least a couple weeks before. I don't think that was the week.
They said today that he had held the title for just over a year, uh-huh. AJ. So it wasn't more than 2 weeks. It was pretty close.
Yeah, because I know they had started to build Jinder Mahal and just nobody was into it. And then they made the pivot. I'll be interested to hear why they did this, because it's not like AJ doesn't have any momentum. You know, AJ's incredibly popular, but they've had the match before, you know, last year. So that could be a reason. But I agree with Kyle. It did seem like this was just Vince McMahon changing his mind and everything. I thought when they announced it, my first reaction was they must be changing the belt, or why would they do this? They just did this match 2 weeks ago. But then, you know, the contrarian in me is thinking, are they just doing this to throw us off? You know, they take Daniel Bryan off Team SmackDown. So it seems like they're giving away the finish in advance. And then you start thinking, are they just being too obvious about this? You know, is it actually going to happen? But I never in a million years expected them to turn Bryan heel at the end.
Just to clarify here, AJ Styles won the title not on the Go Home SmackDown, but the week before the Go Home SmackDown. So they actually had a full week of television after he beat, because remember, he won it in England.
Yeah.
Against Jinder. So it was not the Go Home SmackDown, it was the week before. So they had a week of television last year between the title change and Survivor Series.
All right. So Justin, I didn't mean to cut you off. Any other thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm going to be really curious as to what Daniel Bryan's reasoning is as a character. I'm not talking in real life. What his reasoning is for turning heel, because unlike Braun Strowman, where his turn was kind of ambiguous, it was just kind of a reaction to the Shield getting together, and so he just grabbed two guys, and he really didn't do a whole lot outwardly that made him a heel. And then you had the Dean Ambrose heel turn, where there seemed to be a reluctance in the moment. Whereas this one, Daniel Bryan clearly relished this. I mean, there was a little bit of crazy in his eyes there. So we haven't really seen, at least not in the WWE, we haven't seen that kind of heel Daniel Bryan before. So it's going to be really interesting as to his explanation for doing what he did.
Yeah, I did notice with the crowd reaction. So, I mean, immediately after Bryan did the low blow to AJ, he got the boos. But even earlier in the match, Bryan...
You heard AJ, the boos.
Yeah. Bryan nor AJ got, like, tremendous reactions from that St. Louis crowd. Make him blame.
Well, that's the problem with these kind of matches. I mean, yes, I know your feelings about St. Louis aside, but that's the problem. I mean, you know, the issues, these kind of dream work rate matches just do not work in the WWE. People don't know who to cheer for. They sit on their hands a lot. It's just, you know, we all kind of think about them and romanticize them. Oh, this match would be so fucking sweet in WWE. But it just doesn't work. And, you know, because the crowd kind of likes them both and doesn't really want either to lose.
Yeah. I will say, though, that in some arenas, but when they introduced them individually before the match, each would have got like an incredibly loud reaction. And when I was watching that, I think they had a fairly good crowd tonight. just it was a very weak reaction to both guys. And I'm not gonna trash St. Louis just being a Cubs fan, but
it's one of the great wrestling cities.
Yeah, it is. St. Louis, that's what I thought about that. So that's why I thought it was bizarre. And I do have to say, I saw one of the greatest concerts of my life in that arena. So I am partial to the former Scott Trade Center. I don't know, it's been renamed now, and St. Louis for SmackDown emanated from tonight. But I don't know. I just thought right from the beginning the match seemed weird, and we'll come back to Becky Lynch later, but no question Becky Lynch got the biggest reaction of anyone on that show tonight, ahead of AJ and Daniel Bryan. And that's kind of been the theme for weeks now. I mean, Becky Lynch is probably the hottest star in the company.
I mean, AJ and Bryan always get good reactions. I just think the crowd didn't know how to respond because there was the match they had before Crown Jewel, where AJ was clearly the fan's choice, but that was kind of in his backyard.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the pops had been getting more tepid for Bryan I don't want to say months, but like the last several weeks, I mean, they had been getting more tepid.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if this was a reaction to that, if they're just trying to do something crazy to get people talking. But it is odd.
Well, that would make sense because we've been talking about this a lot between us over the last couple of weeks since we've done a show, that WWE has really been in a rut lately. There hasn't been a lot of excitement behind the product. Now that's not the reason we haven't done a show, by the way. So if you are just tuning in, normally you can expect a show from us every single week. We took some time off because I had a child a couple of weeks ago, so I've been spending time with the new Top Rope Nation baby. But we're back now. So if you're watching us on YouTube, go ahead, hit that subscribe button, hit the alert so you know every time we put up a new show. If you're listening on iTunes, go ahead, subscribe, leave us a rating. I don't think people realize how important the rating system is, but if you leave us that 5-star rating and leave some thoughts on the show, that really helps us get this out to more fans. We greatly appreciate it. We'll read your review on the air. And so go ahead and do that. Well, next week we'll read some of our new reviews. You can also find us on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn, topropenation.com, wherever podcasts are found. We got quite the back library of shows, 79 episodes. So if you're new to us, check them out and check us out in the future. So yeah, I did want to point that out. We've been gone for 3 weeks. That's the reason why, but we're back. And there's been news to talk about. We had some strong thoughts on the Crown Jewel show. That seems like a distant memory now. But we were talking between the three of us. We weren't very excited to tune in for, I think, you know, a lot of the political reasons behind that show. But just creatively, WWE just hasn't given us a reason to get excited. So I will say that SmackDown tonight has piqued my interest more in Survivor Series.
And the Raw closing Raw angle certainly did as well. And it's very unfortunate what happened to Becky Lynch, who, you know, I think pretty easily has been the best performer in this company, man or woman, over the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah. No question. Would you agree, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, if this was a reaction to her injury, I don't know if they've ever had this big of a reaction to somebody's injury than not only doing a Daniel Bryan, Brock Lesnar dream match, but also a match that I think a lot of people had earmarked for WrestleMania in Charlotte and Ronda Rousey.
Oh yeah, we've mentioned that on this show many times in the past. So yeah, that was interesting too. So go ahead.
Nia Jax inadvertently may have really altered the course of this WWE women's division. And Becky Lynch, I know it really sucks. Like when I first heard the news, I was probably like, a lot of people are like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. Like, Nia Jax again, she's hurt so many people. That's a whole nother conversation.
I was like, this is the match, man. Ronda and Becky is the match. The WWE, honestly, I can't think of a fresher, better matchup right now. That the company that could have more intrigue, like over who wins. But now you can make the argument that this benefits Becky because that match may get moved to WrestleMania.
Yeah. Did you guys notice, by the way, when Becky was going through the row of women to choose her replacement? And I think actually before the show, news leaked that it was gonna be Charlotte replacing her. But
I don't know who else it could have been, to be honest.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, did you notice when she, for all the errors in the booking, you know, ever since WrestleMania 34, did you notice that when she got to Asuka, I thought Asuka got the loudest reaction from the crowd, even more so than when she started out with Charlotte.
Yeah, I agree. I thought she had a really good reaction.
So, I mean, maybe there's hope yet for Asuka after the tumultuous year that she's had on the main roster.
That's what's funny. Must have been either earlier today or yesterday. I was, as I always do, fantasy book WrestleMania, and I had actually figured it was going to be Ronda and Charlotte on Raw and Becky Lynch versus Asuka for SmackDown. But obviously that probably won't happen now.
Got to throw it out there, guys. We've been seeing the commercials. Any motivation to travel to New York yet for WrestleMania and reunite?
I will not be going.
Still a no? Okay.
Game of Thrones is starting in April, so I can't go.
It was just such an epic time with you guys in New Orleans last April. I had to throw it out there. So yeah, we gotta talk about the Survivor Series card. We also have to talk about NXT TakeOver War Games, which will be coming at us Saturday night. So let's see, where do you guys want to start with Survivor Series? Do you want to talk about
Let's start at the top, because once you get to the bottom and the tag team scene, and all due respect to the tag team scene, I love tag team wrestling. I've loved it for 30 years with all my heart and soul. There's not a lot to talk about there.
Okay, so what do they do with this Brock and Brian match then? On 1 week's notice, I mean, do we think they're going to have a clear winner on this?
Okay, I just want to make one general statement. I hate the format for it. Even if like it winds up producing good matches and I like the show and I wind up liking the show 5 days from now, I do not like the format for Survivor Series at all. Not elimination matches, I'm not speaking of. These champion versus champion matches. Mm-hmm. Because I just don't understand why you would want to beat one of your champions. You know, I mean, when there used to be in the old days, like an NWA champion versus an AWA champion, what happened? Neither guy won. They would do some schmoz finish.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of this, I don't see them beating Brock because it's Brock.
Yeah. Especially with a heel Daniel Bryan now.
And I don't necessarily see, I mean, are you going to just beat Daniel Bryan right after he wins the title?
It's got to be a schmoz finish. There's got to be a run in, like AJ running in, or Braun or Drew McIntyre. Somebody's going to run in and schmoz this up. Because you can't. It would be really weird. There's no way Daniel Bryan's going to beat Brock Lesnar, and it would be really weird to beat, like you said, Daniel Bryan, who just got crowned champion.
You know what? I'm totally with you. I'm going to go no contest too, because had we done Ronda Becky, I think that would have been really interesting. I would have loved. What did you guys say? Let's pretend that match was going to happen, that Becky's not hurt. What would your pick of that match been?
Okay. See, that would have been, because then we would have had, I'm assuming we would have had Styles and Lesnar, which I would have had a slightly easier time picking Lesnar to beat AJ again. Whereas I would have definitely thought Becky and Ronda had to be a schmoz, because they're not going to have Ronda lose right now. And as we've said already a dozen times, Becky Lynch is the hottest star in the company right now.
Yeah, I also thought that heading in, that it was going to be a no finish.
Yeah, see, okay, so that confirms my thing. I asked that, as I think you guys have picked up on, because, okay, if we're thinking this Brian Lesnar thing's a schmoz, my first thing is like, okay, I immediately go to the other champion versus champion matches and say, all right, well, none of those other ones can be schmozzes then.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it does kind of open the door, I think, for this to be a schmoz finish.
Yeah, I think personally, I would say schmoz finish with Bryan and Lesnar, and I would be more confident picking Ronda to beat Charlotte, especially since Charlotte's been kind of going through a rough patch right now. It makes sense to have her lose, and they're gonna do Charlotte and Rousey again down the line, and then you can build it up with Charlotte getting her revenge.
But I mean, this is big time. I mean, if Ronda beats Charlotte, you know, pretty clean Sunday, And then it's Becky sliding into a bigger opportunity at WrestleMania, which, quite frankly, is what should happen. Wow. That's they listened.
Mm-hmm. I could see a, and I guess I'm kind of jumping the gun here because I think we're talking about Brian and Lesnar, but going to, I believe it was Kyle's fantasy booking for Evolution, where there's a way that they can set up a horsewomen versus horsewomen match with Charlotte and Ronda here. Yeah. Especially because apparently, you know, we talk about Daniel Bryan turning heel. It pretty looked clear as day that Becky was face, you know, that she's a baby face now.
Yeah, and that's another thing we should talk about. What did we feel about, I know we're jumping all over the place. What did we feel about that hug?
That was odd.
It didn't fit.
A huge fan of that.
It didn't fit the booking that had gotten Becky so over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, going into the night, I was like, I wonder, you know, when they were teasing everything and they're like, all right, well, Becky's gonna have to pick her replacement or something. Like, I was thinking Becky was gonna maybe do the old Stone Cold thing where, like, I don't give a shit who you pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, she's like totally like doesn't care, but she like clearly like endorsed, it was, to Justin's point, a very clear traditional babyface move, endorsing Charlotte. Hey, you know, we've been through this, but, you know, you've always been my friend and you go beat Ronda for this brand and for us or whatever.
I'd be curious to know if that was something they told her to do or if that's something she did spur of the moment.
Yeah, I would. In this company, I'll tell you what, there's not a lot of ad-libbing. Unless if you get a concussion, apparently. But
yeah, I feel like whenever something real like this happens, you know, like an injury like this, they kind of view it as outside the boundaries of storyline world and what's happening there. And so it's almost like the segment almost gets a pass where people realize, like, all right, this is a real life injury. It's beyond what we've been presenting on TV kind of thing. And she can't wrestle. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, like, Becky did the promo, which was clearly in character. So it wasn't like the whole thing was out of character either. Yeah. So that's why I agree. It kind of bothered me a little bit given what we've seen on TV for the last couple of months. But
yeah. Getting back, I guess, to the Survivor Series card, you can do a schmoz with Brian Lesnar because I think the other champion versus champion matches, I think the tag team one, I don't have a strong feel. Just because I don't know if it matters, but in the case of the women's and the secondary title match, I have pretty clear choices there that somebody's going to win.
Yeah. So if Ronda beats Charlotte, like we're all predicting is going to happen, I think fairly easily they do the redemption storyline later, where they face off several months down the line again. But it's also a situation where by that point in time, Charlotte could be going as a heel Rousey. And that was another thing I wanted to throw to you guys, because the reactions for Ronda, like especially Monday night with that awful promo they had her cut, have been getting more tepid as well. And I do think Rousey would be a really strong heel, you know, down the line. And I could see the next time they face off, Rousey being the heel in the Charlotte match, and Charlotte's a face going for a revenge. And then that would make even more sense for Charlotte to take the loss this time if she gets a revenge down the line, and it's a babyface redemption story. What do you think about that?
That would have to be way down the line, like when Ronda's like almost towards the end of a run. Because I don't see this crowd cheering for Charlotte over Ronda Rousey.
But you didn't Becky, sense the maybe. Crowd kind of turning on Rousey Monday night?
Not really.
After that promo about the avocado toast?
Oh, you're really hung up on it. I saw that on Twitter. You were real hung up on that.
That was that was written terribly. But
I heard the booze. Millennial smack is pretty bad, generally speaking.
Especially when it's a millennial talking to another millennial that's actually a little bit older than she is, I believe. So yeah,
what's the age cutoff for millennials? I know I'm not a millennial. I don't pay attention to a lot of
actually stuff. I think you are by definition. I think it's born in 1980 is the general definition.
I was born in 1980.
Yeah.
I don't millennials.
I'm sold. I'm part of the greatest generation.
Oh, Jesus Christ. We got we got Tom Brokaw over here to my left.
I'm saying I think the Ronda Rousey babyface thing is going to hit a wall pretty soon, and I can see her being a pretty awesome heel, and maybe not in the too distant future, but we'll see.
She would be. So we always talked about with that horsewomen thing, whenever they do it, there are logistical issues if they did it now, because Ronda has been positioned as such a strong babyface and the other three are so clearly heels. So you're right. If they do a horsewoman, and you know, the way that story kind of writes itself, it's very much like a pro wrestling versus MMA storyline, where you would want the group representing pro wrestling probably to be the babyfaces. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that could be a mechanism, I guess, to turn Ronda heel, but I would not be looking to do that right now. I mean, I still think short term, you know, she beats Charlotte, who's, you know, kind of cold right now. She beats Nia at TLC, and then we see what the plan is for WrestleMania.
I say you let it headline WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Could what's happen. Who? What's that?
Let the, wait, what the, was that? The I horsewomen, that. Let the horsewomen versus horsewomen match headline WrestleMania.
Be unique? It'd be something? I don't know. I still think it's going to be Ronda one-on-one, but I mean, I think Ronda's a key player. I mean, with this Roman Reigns thing. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, I really can't stress that enough. It's not just this Becky Lynch injury. I mean, this goes back to Brock Lesnar's not in this position. We're not talking about Brock Lesnar. He's not working Sunday if Roman Reigns doesn't get the diagnosis.
Yeah,
I think it was Meltzer reported Roman was slated to pin him in the triple threat at Crown Jewel. And that was just going to be it for him.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's Brock's
one
a,
more, one more a good businessman. Hate, one more reason to hate leukemia.
Yes.
Mm. Well, when Roman comes back, we are going to have our massively over baby face on this brand. Yes. So
are we all called a schmoz for the main event. Yep. And then what are we doing for Charlotte and Ronda?
I think we all said Rousey winning.
I mean, I think Charlotte will give it a good effort, but she'll tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, it'll be a job. I'm very interested to see how that's received. You know, Charlotte as a surrogate for Becky. Will she get some sympathy? Will the crowd be behind her?
You know what?
Interesting to see.
I'm going to go Charlotte.
You could be the smartest man alive Sunday night. It's possible. You know, if I knew how to make gifs, that would be a gif on our Twitter page right there at Top Rope Nation. Anytime anything bad happens on pro wrestling, just Kyle kicking his desk or whatever you were doing there.
Throwing his highlighter.
Yeah.
I
guess I just don't feel like it's that hard of a call because of how Charlotte's been booked lately and her losses, her big major losses last few months. If Charlotte had been hot and running with the title and everything, I would have a hard time picking this match. But since she's been in the rut, I think it's a pretty easy call.
I think it's a pretty easy call. I think the key is you can rehab Charlotte a little bit by turning her into a sympathetic character in this match, if that's what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's one way you can do it. Or all you can right. Just have her go full-blown heel.
That's true. Could. Especially with Becky pretty firmly positioned as a babyface.
Yeah.
Okay, men's Survivor Series elimination match. We got Braun Strowman, Dolph.
A traditional Survivor Series match.
Strowman, Dolph, McIntyre, Balor, and Elias from Raw. Taking on, after the shakeup now, we've got Miz, Samoa Joe, Mysterio, Hardy, Shane McMahon.
Wait, isn't it Lashley, not Elias?
I don't know. The card I'm looking at that was updated 26 minutes ago has Elias still.
Okay.
But could be wrong. Either way, thoughts on this one? Not that excited for this one, Justin?
No, I mean... I don't know how we're supposed to get behind bragging rights for Raw and SmackDown. I have to assume, like last year, there might be some sort of start for a WrestleMania match between somebody, but I can't really pinpoint who. But I guess I will go, I guess Raw wins. I don't know.
So you're we
already peaked with Survivor Series teams with Ultimate Warrior, Texas Tornado, and the Road Warriors. So, I mean, it was all downhill from
there. So funny. Everyone loves that team so much, and that was a terrible match. That was one of those. It was like one of those. That was during the period of Survivor Series matches. That's actually when they kind of killed the elimination match gimmick, because they got so lazy in the booking and would just like disqualify half the participants in one swoop, because it was like Mr. Perfect and the three members of Demolition. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, Axe, who was on his way out of the promotion, gets pinned, but then like LOD and Demolition just get disqualified. It was like 89 and 90 featured some pretty lazy booking. But by the way, it is Lashley, not Elias.
I don't know. CBS Sports. Okay. What are you guys doing?
Oh, jeez. CBS Sports line.
I'm looking at CBS Sports for the card.
What are you watching? Reading fucking Pete Prisco or something like that? Oh, my God. So, all right. Let's take a look. Let's analyze these participants and see who is absolutely not going to survive this match. I would say Samoa Joe is not going to survive this match. I would say Jeff Hardy is not going to survive this match. Yeah. Looking at the Raw side, I would say Bobby Lashley is not going to survive this match.
I hate to say, but Finn Balor is not going to survive.
Finn Balor nor his hog are going to survive this match.
Dolph Ziggler is not
going to survive this match. Rey Mysterio could, but that would be a surprise. So that would leave us with Drew and Braun on the Raw side, both clearly protected. I think both in the running to be in the Universal title picture down the line.
And get that title on McIntyre.
Yes, I agree.
SmackDown, you know, Shane McMahon has the right last name. And The Miz is the captain.
You know, I guess I think it'll come down to like, I see like Strowman and McIntyre, those two being the last two and kind of possibly screwing each other over and giving the win to like Mysterio and McMahon or something.
Yeah. You know, so, okay. You have to look at the way they did it. Shane McMahon with that, tremendously Bret Hart, King of the Ring, 1993, like performance, at Crown Jewel. Since he won it for SmackDown, Raw is definitely going to win this match. And I'm going to say Drew McIntyre and Braun Strowman are your survivors.
Yeah, the whole storyline in this match is Stephanie wanting revenge for the World Cup and Shane winning the World Cup. So, yeah.
He is the best in the world.
Just looking at the rosters, Strowman, obviously, I don't think he's going to lose here. And it's either going to be Strowman as the sole survivor or Strowman and McIntyre left. I think I agree with that. I'm going to go with Raw also. Justin, you're still SmackDown?
Yeah, I'm going SmackDown.
Okay. On the women's side, we have a mystery team member on SmackDown now after Charlotte was plucked from the team to face Ronda Rousey.
That's maybe the only interesting thing about this match, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's on the Raw side, and hopefully this card is updated. Natalya, Mickey James, Nia Jax and her iron right fist, Tamina Snuka and Ruby Riott versus
somebody tweeted during Raw that pushing Tamina is the most shameful thing Vince McMahon's ever done with a Snuka, and by God, that covers a lot of ground.
Oh, that's bad. That's really bad.
I laughed pretty hard. And to be fair, Ryan, I agree. Pushing Tamina Snuka is very bad.
That's amazing.
Carmella, Naomi, Asuka, Sonya Deville to be announced. Are they gonna like do a surprise NXT appearance, or is this just gonna be Mandy Rose? What do you guys
could think? Could be Nikki Cross. I'll be honest with you. So this is what's gonna happen. Everyone's gonna work themselves into a shoot and think it's gonna be something totally awesome, and it's gonna be somebody who gets like eliminated early in the match.
Carmella.
No, Carmella's already on the team.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah. With her. Yeah. God. To me, again, I think Nia Jax is pretty clearly the survivor here, because they got to build her for her match with Rousey next month. So I'm going to go with Raw here again. Will multiple people survive? I don't know, but I know Nia Jax will.
It's bad news for everyone else in this match.
She's not like most girls.
Who's next on the hit list for Nia Jax? So Raw. Okay. I have no freaking idea, nor do I think it matters too much.
It is kind of logical. I mean, when you look at this, you know, nine women and whoever the mystery is, the only one who has any semblance of a direction is Nia. I mean, all the other people are either glue girls, I should say, or just kind of, you know, JTTS types.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to imagine anyone on the SmackDown side surviving, possibly Asuka. I also look at this for Raw versus SmackDown and who's getting wins here. So we said Raw in the men's, we said Rousey in the women's. That's two Raw winners, and then a Schmaz in the men's title match between the world champions. So, gosh, you know, that makes me think SmackDown should get a win, but I don't see it with that roster either. So I think I'd have to lean towards Raw.
Here's what's fun. I'll let Justin pick him, and I'll kind of tip my hand for the rest of it.
I'm actually looking at the Wikipedia page, like what Ryan just mentioned. I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, because obviously you can't just pick all the, you know, the Raw teams to win and whatnot. And then also at the same time, is you got to think they use these kind of matches opportunity to get somebody over. I don't see anybody on the SmackDown side outside of Asuka. I don't see the to be announced to be anything exciting. I think they'll go with Nia Jax. So I'm going to go Team Raw, especially since I went Team SmackDown for the men's match.
All right.
To your earlier point, Ryan, yeah, I have not picked SmackDown to win a match yet, but that will probably change here. So what they're going to do is, I think in these matches where it really doesn't matter, SmackDown will get their wins there.
Okay. I did want to say, by the way, before we forget, as we pick these matches for this show, check our friends out over at WrestleRumble.com. They are a partner of Top Rope Nation. If you're not familiar with WrestleRumble, basically you can buy an entry into the contest for every pay-per-view. I know they're doing this for TakeOver, and they're doing it for Survivor Series. Essentially, you buy an entry. It's kind of like, you know, March Madness time. You buy a bracket, you can win money. You can win legit money doing this contest. It makes watching the pay-per-views, I think, a lot more fun and interesting. You pick the winners. They have prop bets on, you know, how long the match is going to be, are any weapons going to be involved, that kind of thing. And you can win upwards of $500. And some of us have placed in the top 20 since we've been partnering up with WrestleRumble. It's a lot of fun. So I'll have the link in the video description down there on YouTube. If you're watching us on YouTube, if you're listening on any of the podcasting platforms, I will post the link for you to sign up there as well. And also, WrestleRumble is generous enough to give us a free entry to give out to one of our listeners each and every month. So I'm going to open that up in the comments here on the YouTube page. So if you're listening and you want to enter, head on over to youtube.com/Top Rope Nation. Check out our Survivor Series preview show here and leave a comment. So just let us know which match you are looking forward to most this weekend, either at NXT TakeOver, War Games 2, or Survivor Series. And we'll pick one of you who we think has the best reasoning for what they're looking forward to get that free entry. Make sure in your comment you give us your Twitter username as well, so we can get a hold of you and get that free entry to you. So again, leave that in our comments section here on YouTube, and we'll get you that free entry, which is actually a $10 value, and you got a chance to win upwards of $500. So check that out, WrestleRumble.com.
You know, something we need to talk about real quick. I was just looking on my TL, as you were doing just such a wonderful job there.
Thank you.
My timeline. Yeah. The notion that Daniel Bryan would be in any way punished or buried for refusing to do Crown Jewel has now been disproven, I think. The man just won the title.
Oh, yes. There was talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there was some speculation, you know, from the How Is It Going crowd that he was maybe being buried with that AJ Styles loss. But I think... how's it going, everybody? I think was wrong. By the way, did you see, you talk about a promo?
Nia Jax and Brian Alvarez? Is that what you're talking about?
How about your boy, the big guy, going after Alvarez on Twitter.com?
Oh, I did not see that. Is that today?
A lot, but yeah, it was, Jesus.
Who are you talking about?
Like Ryback. Ryback. Okay. Yeah, that tool.
I did see Alvarez's comments on Nia Jax.
Yeah, well, you know, that was what Ryback responded to. He, you know, a lot of fucking Mark, and you know, you're the reason people hate wrestlers and stuff. It was Ryback was not happy with how's it going, everybody.
That is too bad. So I think the match that probably should, by all intents and purposes, be the match of the night would be.
Oh, good grief!
Oh, I knew this was going to happen. I've been looking forward to this.
Kyle's guy, Shinsuke Nakamura, taking on Seth Rollins. I mean, don't you think it should be the match of the night, though? Like on paper,
Well, I mean, as you and I texted, and none of our listeners know, according to your preconceived definitions of good work, I guess I could see how you would think this would be the best match of the show.
Well, on paper, it should be the best match on the. Look at the rest of the card.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what. Shinsuke Nakamura for the last year and a half has been wishing matches took place on paper, man, because he has been phoning this shit in. long distance.
I tell you what. I think he's going to show up for this match.
Whoa!
Now, the AJ Styles stuff, those were pretty good matches, but they were held down by Schma's finishes and the nut punches. Mm-hmm. They were kind of held back for that. He hasn't really been given anything else to really sink his teeth into. I have a feeling his time with the WWE is coming to a close here soon. I think he's going to really want to make an impact here with somebody who I think is the best worker in the industry, and that's Seth Rollins.
My God.
I think they're going to steal the show. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would be all in, by the way, on a Nakamura return to New Japan Pro Wrestling. I would definitely
make just re-up? I'm pretty sure he just re-upped.
Someone asked Meltzer on Twitter today, and he said as far as he knew, it still ended in February, his contract.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But who knows? Yeah, I'd be all in on watching a Nakamura return to New Japan, because you're right, Kyle. He has been somewhat uninspired since being on the.
And he's gonna get good again and magically in New Japan.
He's a great wrestler. He is, when he has, like Justin said, something to sink his teeth into. He's proven that in the past.
Okay, Kyle, you loved his matches with Bobby Roode. One of my favorite matches of all time was his very first one in WWE against Sami Zayn.
Yes, that was very good. Yeah, the consistency has just not been there.
Point. And that in my point is with a completely fresh and super talented guy like Rollins, I think he's going to bring it.
Yeah, well, this is one of those dream match scenarios for a lot of people. I think
I'm going to pick him to win.
Oh yeah, same here.
Yeah,
I think Dean, this is why, you know, okay, if we're picking a Schmaz and that Brian Lesnar thing, okay, well, you can't pick Schmazes and the other ones. I think it's pretty clear Dean Ambrose will interfere here and cause the Rollins the match. That's pretty logical.
Mm-hmm. I am also in agreement. And I again think this will be the match of the show.
Dean Ambrose awkwardly sits on cars.
Yes,
that was odd.
That was very odd.
Good promo, but that was weird.
All right, the tag champions, and I gotta agree, as I go down this card, I gotta agree with Kyle, this format sucks. Just arbitrarily pay for,
because I don't think
champions it matches against each other, and
I don't think it means anything. It's not something for the fans. It's like I think the whole Raw versus SmackDown brand supremacy thing is the most overrated storyline there is. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm a WWE fan, and I am, I don't really give a fuck about like Raw or Smack. Like, to me, it's still booked under the same umbrella. You know, like, I guess like if this was Survivor Series 2002, okay, I would really be rooting for SmackDown. But like, other than that time period, it's not like, you know, I mean, sure, okay, the years, it's like, okay, this show's doing better now, this one's, but it's like, it's a marginal difference, and it's not like there's two competing visions of wrestling.
No.
Going at each other. And, you know, so it really doesn't mean anything, and the champion versus champion matches don't mean anything at all.
That's another point. You guys, you know, like, remember when they started this brand split right around the time that we started the show, actually, back in 2016. And at the beginning, they did try to make the feel of the shows like quite different. Like, they had different camera angles on SmackDown and they did little things that made them feel different. And they've completely backed off of that. They don't feel different at all anymore. So, like, it doesn't
they have their stuff that, yeah, they have their stuff that works and they just want to do it. They just, yeah.
There is no competition. They wanted to create that art, you know, some kind of competition feeling, but it doesn't exist.
They got to keep it going though, because Fox is getting SmackDown, so yeah, it ain't changing.
Pretty soon, SmackDown is going to be the A show, whether they like it or not.
Yeah. So the tag team title match, or the battle of the tag champions is the one that I have the least clue on. I think it legitimately could just go either way.
Yeah, because we're talking about heel teams here. And
both of them just won the titles.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I'm absolutely picking SmackDown to win the 10-on-10 elimination match with Usos and New Day. I mean, you look at the rest of the lot. I mean, WWE has never shown much interest in pushing anybody else. So I see Usos and New Day bringing it home for SmackDown. So that means I will have picked SmackDown to win the U.S. title match, the U.S. versus IC, I should say, the 10-on-10, but I've got Raw winning the men's and women's elimination. So this would be, I'm just going to go SmackDown. I'll go the bar because I just think if SmackDown wins or if Raw wins the two big ones, they'll give SmackDown the other three.
I'm going to go AOP here. I'm going to go Raw just because they're kind of a fresher act in the company. And I'll just go with that reasoning. Justin.
No, I'm with you 100%. AOP, new tag team, and the Raw tag team division is in desperate need of an injection of a good team, or at least somebody with a push. And the bar certainly doesn't need that.
Yeah. All right, so Kyle, you just told us in the next one, that's the one I was going to. So we've got Rude, Gable, The Ascension, Lucha House Party, the B-Team, and The Revival versus The Usos, New Day, The Good Brothers, Sanity, and The Colognes on SmackDown. And so you said this one you're going SmackDown because of The New Day and Usos. Who am I to disagree with that, Justin?
Yeah.
I don't have many deep thoughts on this one.
Same. We should talk about the match that's going to smoke Rollins Nakamura, by the way.
The Cruiserweight Championship match?
Yes.
All right. Buddy Murphy, Mustafa Ali. Should be an excellent match. I agree. They've had some barn burners in the past. And I think I'd go with Murphy retaining here and a really good match.
Yeah, I'm going Murphy too. Mustafa Ali is going to have a run. I could see them holding maybe a rematch at WrestleMania or something, but I think Murphy's going to have the title for a while. I saw him and Omega had a little back and forth on Twitter, people comparing Murphy to Omega. So maybe we'll see a couple dozen V triggers in this match. I don't know if we're lucky.
Maybe we'll see Kenny Omega in the WWE next year. That's a whole nother show we could do.
God, would love to see him on 205 Live.
Oh my God. Anyone that watches New Japan after this show, Kyle, send all your tweets to @TRPKyle. If you disagree.
That was my favorite take of all time.
All right. So any other thoughts on Survivor Series before we hit this NXT TakeOver card and then call it a night, guys?
Nothing. I'm kind of amused with myself. I kind of want to tell that joke. I kind of want to tell that joke to myself over again, like I haven't heard it before.
You guys would be surprised to know that Kyle Ross is a esteemed New Japan World subscriber, despite his.
Comments. I don't know. It's just like, what do you want to do? Like, it's so sweet. I don't know. We've got. By the way, it's not just New Japan where I'm critical of Meltzer getting a little too juicy with the snowflakes. I thought he was out to lunch given that Becky Charlotte match 4 3/4 at Evolution. Like, I thought it was like 3 3/4, personally. 4 3/4. What world is that 4 3/4?
I think we need to invite Dave on the show sometime. I just want to hear the back and forth.
I'll just bring up his entire star rating list and just like say, yeah, no, about a half star too high here.
Dave, you're wrong.
Yeah, three quarters of a stars too high there. Yeah, maybe a full star too high.
I mean,
why is the Royal Rumble 92 only get 3.5 stars?
If I look back at our text thread, guys, like before today, when we're going back and forth on Rhonda and everything, that's got a little discussion. Mitchell Trubisky came up at one point, Kyrie Irving.
They did.
You didn't catch all that. But before all that, most of our back and forth in the texting was about WWE and how the product sucks lately and all this stuff. So talking about New Japan, I mean, were either of you seeking out other wrestling to watch because you were so frustrated with WWE over the last month? If you go down that rabbit hole?
No, I've had plenty of other stuff to occupy my time. Being a dad, Red Dead Redemption 2 just came out. Lots of stuff to watch on Netflix. And don't get me wrong, I like a lot of other wrestling. Ring of Honor is probably as close to as good as it's ever been. I at least pay attention to what's going on in New Japan, although I don't really watch. I'm good. I watch. I hate watch enough WWE wrestling to fill my pro wrestling needs.
Kyle?
It's football season. So as you know, I spend about 13 hours on Saturday and then about 8, sometimes 11 if I like the Sunday night matchup, which I know you do this week.
Oh yeah.
Watching football, and other than that, no. Loved Walter Devlin, loved Walter Ospreay.
Yes. I was just about to say, I totally missed that. Kyle recommended, everybody needs to go watch Walter and Devlin. Did we talk about that last time we potted?
I think it did come up, but
okay. Yeah, I can't remember if it was on a case. Yeah. Then Walter and Ospreay was even better. So, love that stuff. But other than football, man, which occupies my time, it is my, how I'm gainfully employed, my big money maker. Other than that, I've just been watching Melrose Place reruns, man.
Didn't expect that one. Jesus.
Love Melrose Place with all my heart and soul.
What's going on?
What in the hell?
Oh. You talk about a heel. Dr. Michael Mancini puts him on the shame, baby.
I got a timestamp right now so I can throw that theme song on here on the podcast at this point.
Do, 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 do.
Wait. What? Do, do, do,
do. This is just off the rails.
What service are you watching that on?
Amazon Prime. So somebody made a Melrose Place reference on. They did on Between the Sheets. They talked. Because they were talking about 95 Raws, and back when they were taped, they would actually do a, next week on Raw, kind of like teaser and like show stuff that would happen. And Vince referred to it, I guess, I forgot who or how he referenced it as quote, they're like nod to Melrose Place. And that got me thinking about Melrose Place. And I was sitting there in the car. I was like, God, Melrose Place was a good fucking show. I'm like, how is that not on a streaming service? And I looked it up, saw Amazon Prime had it, baby. And I am deep diving on season one.
Man, some peak Andrew Shue. I'll tell you what.
Hey, he was good at the football, or maybe he wasn't very good at the football, but he tried. But didn't he have a short-lived stint in the early days of MLS?
I have no idea.
for the Kansas City club? Maybe, I don't know.
I have seen less than 10 episodes of Melrose Place in my life, Kyle.
That's a huge mistake.
Well, I'll tell you what.
That is
when you're talking about when you're talking about three named hot ladies from late 80s, early 90s, it's Tiffany Amber Thiessen and Courtney Thorne Smith.
Yeah. I wasn't afraid to crank the old rod to Laura Layton myself, to be honest.
Oh my god. Mrs. Ross, I am sorry for this, and your husband has just gotten completely out of hand.
Oh, I told her that last night, to be honest with you.
Oh, I can't follow that. I just can't.
Honestly, guys,
what were we even talking about? Oh,
this is episode 79, right, Ryan?
It is.
Yeah, I've been waiting 79 episodes to use the term crank the old rod.
I'm glad we've accomplished that.
Yeah. I made a bet when you first invited me on this podcast. I said, by episode 80, I will use the term crank the old rod on this.
Oh, man. Well, oh, God. I just lost it. I've completely lost control at this point. Oh, yes. So deep diving into other wrestling promotions. I also have been a little busy with the newborn, so I haven't really done that. I kind of get in my head like, yeah, I'd like to watch some more like Progress or Ring of Honor, but I haven't really done that. And Red Dead Redemption 2 is a phenomenal game. So any spare time I have, I've also been playing that, Justin. So I would agree. But I am glad the shakeup on SmackDown this week made me a little bit more interested, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. So. I always watch, my default is always old wrestling. Like, it's funny. Like, whenever I have a spare time, I'm like, I want to watch some wrestling. It's like, you know, let's throw on the award-winning network, WWE Network, and, you know, watch some Mid-South from 1980 television from 1983.
Or like all the old primetime wrestlings that you've binge watched.
Yeah. I finished them all.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
God, was the World Wrestling Federation was a hot promotion after WrestleMania 5, man. Watch those first couple months. Watch those first couple weeks post Mania 5, April and May television, 89. Oh, that's good stuff.
What is the last years of primetime they have up now on the network? They don't have all the way through like 92 yet, do they? Kyle?
He's frozen.
My God. I mean, I don't want to make the crank the rod reference, but maybe he's just had it. Kyle, if you're hearing us right now, I see the side of your head and your headphones, and that's about it. All right. Well, we're just going to roll with this here, Justin, and he'll rejoin us here in a second. With the NXT TakeOver card, I will say that I've pulled up my own article from comicbook.com with the card on this one from over the weekend, so I know this card is accurate. NXT TakeOver is actually a shorter card than usual. Typically, they have 5 matches on the card. This one only 4, because they are delegating so much time to the War Games match and the 2 out of 3 falls. Women's title match. So we've talked about on the show before, Justin, how ahead of these takeover shows, all of us kind of tend to binge watch NXT TV. And so I've been following it, like what's been happening, but I haven't watched the TV in a few weeks. So I'm going to have to do that this weekend. How up to date are you on NXT television?
Basically, I look at the results and then I just watch the stuff that I think will kind of interest me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of hit or miss. The Aleister Black and Johnny Gargano story is really intriguing. And obviously that's going to be one hell of a match. I'm disappointed we're not going to get a Chris Hero and Bro, the newest addition to NXT. But I get it. You know, it's like they got one hell of a card here for just 4 matches. This is going to be a great show. NXT TakeOver never disappoints. It's always just the best show of the year.
Mm-hmm. I do hope they do that match in front of the crowd there, Hero and Riddle, like beforehand, and tape it for television like they tend to do sometimes, because they gotta have those guys on the show, especially Riddle. So hopefully they do something like that. I do think, looking at this card, that this is a pretty tough one to pick match of the night. I mean, all 4 of these matches could be 4+ stars.
Yeah. I think you could probably rule out War Games just because you can't do the blood. And and I enjoyed last year's, but it has to be super gimmicky now. And considering what the other 3 matches are, I mean, those are just going to be tremendous. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Baszler and Sane. I was shocked they put the title back on Baszler. I was kind of expecting her to get called up soon.
Same.
You know, just kind of because of Ronda and the whole horsewoman thing. But Baszler is one of the best heels NXT or main roster. She's just been tremendous. So it also wouldn't surprise me if they just keep rolling with her. Do you have any picks for these? Any go? Do you think? Okay, here. I think the number one question is: Do they put the title on Velveteen Dream?
I think no, although I would love to see it. Dream is one of my easily top favorite guys in the whole company right now.
And a tremendous shirt on WWE shop right now.
I saw, this is what me and Justin talk about when Kyle's not around. It's wrestling t-shirts. And I did see the, I haven't ordered from them in quite a while. And I did see they had the buy one, get one for a dollar tonight. And I did open the tab and added the Velveteen Dream to my cart, but I haven't found a second one that I really want to make it worthwhile. So I don't know if I'll be ordering or not, but I did tell Justin a while ago that that one's probably my next WWE shop purchase because I love the play on the old Macho Man shirt.
Oh, great shirt, which is what I have on right now.
Well, I thought that's maybe what it was, but I didn't want to say, okay, Justin, can you unzip your hoodie for a second? Yeah.
No, I agree with you. I don't think Velveteen Dream's going to get the title here. I think you have to have Black or Gargano take the title off of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that Black Gargano match is pretty hard to pick. I think I would go with Baszler retaining, Ciampa retaining, the War Games match. I think it's still going to be pretty good because Ricochet in a cage match, he could do some pretty cool things. But yeah, go ahead.
I would go with the team, the Undisputed Era. Mm-hmm. I know they won last year, but I would just keep that momentum going. You know,
Kyle Ross is back with us. Did you crank one out to Melrose Place?
Yeah, damn it! You stole my joke, you little bitch.
He's back.
The whole time I was getting flustered. So apparently I did not have my laptop plugged in during this entire show. I've got everything else plugged in the world here. I forgot to have the old charger. And as I was getting flustered, I was like, you know what? As soon as I get back out, I'm going to make a joke about cranking my rod to Melrose Place.
Well, we're just discussing NXT. We've went through what the four matches are, why they're having four matches, how Riddle Hero didn't make the card, but we're hopeful that maybe they could film that for television like before the show. I said I would go with Ciampa retaining, Baszler retaining, Black and Gargano is kind of hard to predict, and we're talking about the War Games match right now. You have any just generalized thoughts on this card, Kyle?
Will this fit the traditional takeover narrative of like, yeah, you know, kind of haven't been looking this, you know, I'm kind of not looking forward to this takeover that much. Going in, you know, can't remember the last time I was this had this little interest in a takeover, and then after the show's over, it's like, oh, this is the best takeover ever.
I would say I'm looking forward to this one quite a bit.
Really?
Yeah, I just the card, like we were saying before you came back while you were cranking it out over there, that these four matches are could all be, to use your favorite term, the star ratings. These could all be 4+ star match ratings. I mean, this is a good card. You
know, I don't know, man. You know, another thing, you know, lost in this in Daniel Bryan turning heel tonight. We with Gargano. I mean, God, what that was kind of. I was kind of let down that he was the attacker.
Yeah, it seemed kind of, I don't know, like that original video where he was just walking past made it seem just too obvious kind of to me. But
yeah, like I kind of thought it would have been a great way to like debut somebody new. So I wasn't huge on that storyline. The Dream and Ciampa is a very interesting dynamic. Dream to me is a guy who, when there is a spot opened up, needs to be put in a big match situation on the main roster. It's just he's actually a developmental person, you know, that, you know, when they're confident in him that he can do it, then, you know, a lot of there's a lot of people working on the main roster that are very high on him, stars. So, sure, but I don't know. My interest for this one is not huge. I no doubt that the matches will be good, but like, in terms of just intrigue, I'm kind of like you. I kind of think I know who's going to win, and I don't know.
So I got a question and a statement. The question is, has Gargano explained his reasoning for attacking Black? Has anybody caught that?
I have not. Kyle?
No.
No.
Okay.
No. Really. Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like that he deserved it or something like that. Like, it hasn't been that clear, like, exactly why. It was just, it wasn't like a great description. I think they were just kind of going for the shock value of him laying black out and, you know, saying it was me. And it was just a thing where it's like, well, I mean, it was kind of logical, but it wasn't exciting. It was like he wanted the shot and to himself, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. But by the way, if anybody wants to very drunkenly and incoherently hear me predict that Gargano was the attacker, that's on an, you know,
that is true. You called it, and I thought you were out to freaking lunch.
Well, I was, but I was right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was quite the show. God, what episode was that? You could hear Justin's tone change throughout the show as he went deeper and deeper into the scotch.
That was a long show. I had a lot more to drink than usual.
Never know what you're going to get on this broadcast. All right. So, yeah, I'll go with Ciampa. I'll go with Baszler. I'll go with Undisputed Era also, Justin. And, man, I think I'll go with Aleister Black. Kyle, your picks. Or go ahead, Justin. You go.
I was just going to, I agree with all those picks.
Okay.
Yes, I agree actually too.
All right, no drama on that one.
No. People wonder why we talk about the main roster all the time.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I don't have a whole lot left to say unless you guys do.
Yeah, I would like to spend the next hour fantasy booking Omega on 205 Live.
I was going to say, what was the more offensive thing I said on tonight's broadcast? Kenny Omega, can't wait to see him on 205 Live, or talking about cranking my rod to Laura Layton?
I'm going to go with the latter just because now I'm kind of interested in watching some Melrose Place.
The first season can be pretty cheesy. Look out. If you didn't live through it and it doesn't bring you back those memories, you might be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But I'll tell you what, man, as soon as that dirty Dr. Michael Mancini starts cheating on his wife, man, we are off and running, baby.
What a show. All right. Well,
I'm trying to say.
I am sure that we'll have plenty to talk about next week after this weekend. So we'll be back with episode 80 next week.
Tomasa Ciampa could learn lessons from Dr. Michael Mancini, maybe. How did you draw the heel heat?
Guys, subscribe on YouTube. We would appreciate it. Like this video on YouTube. Get this thing trending so people tune in. If you're listening on the iTunes, the Stitcher Radio, like we said earlier, leave us a review, subscribe, all that jazz. Check us out at topropenation.com. We have merch, by the way, guys. There's a Black Friday sale coming up on both of our sites. We're on Pro Wrestling Tees, ProWrestlingTees.com/topropenation. I think they got a 20% off sale. All those proceeds help us pay our hosting costs for saving these episodes and having that library of 80 shows available at your beck and call. And also on Spreadshirt, we have a bigger store. We got some new merchandise available on there. All that helps the show grow. If you go to topropenation.com, you can find the links to our Spreadshirt store. I think it's shop.spreadshirt.com/topropenation. Check that out. Thanks for tuning in to episode 79 of Top Rope Nation. Enjoy Survivor Series. Enjoy War Games. Check you guys next week.
Crank that rod.